But we have not yet found the purposes for which the baptism of the Holy Spirit was administered in cases of which we have a record. Soon after his baptism, Jesus selected 12 men to whom it was his purpose to commit the first proclamation of the gospel, which was to be the power of God for the salvation of men. These he required to forsake parents, friends, occupations, everything, and follow him, that their minds might be free to receive the instruction necessary to a thorough preparation for the work assigned them. For 3.5 years he ceased not to instruct them in the things pertaining to his kingdom. And though they had left all to follow one so poor that he had not where to lay his weary head, he comforted them, saying, I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Knowing the events that were soon to occur in their presence, that he should be put to death and go to his Father, leaving them to plead his cause in the midst of persecution and death, he finally told them of all that should befall them, but that he would remember them in prayer to his Father. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. John 14, verses 16 and 17. This Comforter was not, like him, to be taken from them, but to remain with them forever. But he said, Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. John 16, verses 6 and 7. Why was it expedient for them that he should go away? When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 15, verse 26. They trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Luke 24, verse 41. But when he was crucified, their hopes died with him, and in despair they went each one to his former occupation. When he gave them proof that he had risen from the dead, they took courage and determined to await the promised power from on high. But when the Holy Ghost came from heaven, bearing to them the glorious tidings of his coronation as King of kings and Lord of lords, it filled their hearts with joy and gladness. Yea, they rejoiced to know that he was at his Father's right hand as their adorable high priest and mediator, and would there remain to make intercession for his children until his foes should become his footstool. Truly did the Comforter on that day bear witness of him, for then were they bold to declare that he was by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Acts 2, verse 33. Again, notwithstanding he had been with them, and had faithfully instructed them in the great scheme of man's salvation, still they were human and liable to forget the important lessons he had given them. Hence he told them that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14, verse 26. Though he had many things to say to them, which in their weakness they were not able to bear, and which for their good he graciously declined then to reveal, he assured them that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16:13. And thus he prepared them to eventually receive what he could not then tell them. Once more, their commission required them to preach the gospel to every creature, to all nations. How could these ignorant Galileans preach the gospel among all nations to every creature in the numerous languages then spoken? There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Acts 2 and verse 5. Truly, here was a difficulty. But they were to tarry at Jerusalem until endued with power from on high. This power they were to receive after that the Holy Ghost came upon them. This completed the preparations. How could they then err? They could not despair, for the Spirit had given them comfort from heaven. They could not forget anything, for the Spirit was to strengthen their memory. What Jesus lacked of perfecting their instructions, the Spirit supplied by guiding them in all truth. Were there many nations and diverse languages? The baptism of the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak to every man in his own language wherein he was born, and thus they were enabled to preach to every creature among all nations. And the Comforter, through them, reproved the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Only one thing more, and the scheme is complete. Other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. John 10, verse 16. But how shall this be done? The Jews then, like the Calvinists, now regarded themselves as the favored few for whom Jesus died, and thought it not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Hence, it took a miracle to convince Peter that it was his duty to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Six of his Jewish brethren accompanied him to the house of Cornelius, where God poured out the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles as on the disciples at Jerusalem on Pentecost. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts 10, verses 45 and 46. This satisfied those of the Jews who were with Peter and witnessed it. And when he rehearsed the whole matter from the beginning to the apostles and brethren who were at Jerusalem, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Acts 11, verse 18. Thus we see a necessity for God to baptize the Gentiles at the house of Cornelius with the Holy Spirit, not to convert those who received it, or in any way to benefit them, but that the Jews might perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. We wish, in conclusion, to call attention to the striking difference in the forms of speech used with reference to water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. Go teach all nations, baptizing them. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Every creature among all nations who is capable of hearing and believing the gospel may be baptized with a baptism connected with faith as a condition of salvation. How very different the style when speaking of Holy Spirit baptism. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When speaking of that coming down to us and designed to be perpetual, the style is all nations, every creature. But when speaking of Holy Spirit baptism, it is you, ye, and this is the extent of it. Kind reader, is not this significant?